precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Dr. Tony Evans was telling the story about his wife telling him about one of their grandchildren. It was a stormy day. It was raining, actually. And the toddler, his name was Frankie, not this one. And she noticed Frankie took a chair and set it in behind the drapes of the window. And he was mumbling to himself. Frankie was a handful, he said. And so she got closer to the window to hear what Frankie was saying. And finally he come to the end of what he was saying and he said, "I've got to get out of here." Have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope? Have you ever felt like that you were at wit's end? Let me explain to you about wit's end. Maybe some of y'all didn't know that saying was in the Bible. Wit's end was the very front of the boat. I mean, the wit's end was, that was it right there, the wit's end. These folks were at their wit's end. They were tossing to and fro, and in those days, the waters could be very, very frightening, and that's what they were. And they come to the point where they were at their wit's end. They didn't know what to do. And the Bible says and tells us, and Frankie read it, that all of a sudden they turn to the Lord. What do you do when you reach that point in your life? The realist would say, just tie another knot and hang on. The pessimist would say, you might as well let go. It's only going to be getting worse. And the optimist might say, just tie another knot and keep on climbing. Well, each of those has its merits, but in reality, what can I do? This falls on me. That falls on me. This falls on me. This is it happening to me. This, and all of a sudden, I've got to go this week, and I've got to get my results from my doctor. I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the bottom of the rope. What do I do? And you know, you may be here this morning and you may be in that place. You're at the end of your rope and there's a long drop beneath you. You just don't know what to do. If you're not in that position, if you've never been in that position, hang in there. You will be someday down the road. What do you do when you're facing problems with your children that you cannot solve those problems? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks? What do you do when there are problems at work and it seems like there's no way out? What do you do when you have too much of this and not enough of this and too much of this and not enough of this? What do you do when you have followed a loved one's body to the graveyard? And you cannot escape the loneliness. You just can't get over it, the grief and the pain. What do you do? What do you do when your heart's broken, your dreams are shattered, and your hopes have been dashed to bits on the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do when you're walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems to be no way out? What do you do? I don't think anyone, but the Lord has the answers to these questions. Yet there may be some help in the verses that we brought forth this morning. The passage tells us about a poor widow woman who was at the end of her rope. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to turn. Her husband had always taken care of her and the kids, always before, but now her husband has died. She tells the man of God that her husband was a righteous man. Actually, he was studying to be a prophet or a preacher. And he took care of the family. In those days, if the person in the home couldn't take care of the children, then they come and got the kids and took them and they worked for them to pay off the debt. And she said, they're coming to get my kids. Can you imagine two of your kids, teenagers, having to go somewhere else to pay a debt that you couldn't pay? And she was just in a wit's end here. And this passage teaches us the glorious truth that God has a plan for your problem. God has a plan for our problems. Amen? And here's this woman. She turned to the man of God to ask the man of God what to do. And the man of God turns to the God. And God tells the man of God what to do, and the man of God tells the lady what to do. And when you and I face these situations, and most of us, we're going to follow someone to the graveyard. And we're going to watch them go down in that dirt for the last time, even though their soul is in heaven. That's what we have known for years, is that body going down. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt. Now, I can hang on to that and hang on to that and hang on to that for a long period of time and go through all the strife and grief that I want to choose to go through. But wait a minute. God has a plan for my life, and he can't use me the way he wants to use me as long as I'm going through this and not turning to him for the answer. Amen. What's your situation this morning? I used to teach a class, and we let it go because of COVID. And that class was called the New Beginnings. And when people came into that class, everybody except Jesse didn't have a problem. He was just sitting there with me. But everybody came in that class, they had a problem. Some was drugs. Some was alcohol. Some was abuse. And it goes on and on and on and on. And they came. Now listen, they came to that class looking for an answer. They just couldn't deal with that thing that was transpiring in their life at that time or in the past. And it could be in the past. Something's happened in your life. And you're still holding on. And you haven't turned to God for the answer. Amen? There was despair in this family, if you notice. The word cried means to moan. Mourn. It means to weep. Uncontrollably is what it says there. To shrink out of grief. In other words, this lady cried. She was mourning. She was out of control because her kids was getting ready to go. She had nothing, nothing at all. And the word identifies the sound of a woman here that we read of a broken heart. She had a broken heart. This woman comes to the man of God at the lowest moment of her life, and she's in despair. Have you ever been there? The lowest point of your life. When I was teaching that class, people sat in that class, and surprisingly, they wanted to talk about their situation, their problem. And they come to the lowest point, and they say, I come, can you help me? I can't help you, but God can, and I can show you how to get a hold of God. And some of the people that came to that class, not all the people, but some of the people got relief. You see, they come looking for help. Listen. Until you admit the problem that you have, you're never going to get help. got a minute. Some people don't want a minute. They don't want a minute. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it eats and it eats and it eats and it causes other physical problems. It can even cause mental problems. And here's a lady now. And she was a Christian. Her husband was a Christian. The home was a Christian home. But listen, all of a sudden, this Christian home now is having problems. And just because you have a Christian home is no sign you're not going to have no problems. Keep that in mind, amen? Just because you may be faithful to the house of God is no sign you're not going to have any problems. And she was at her wit's end. She was at the bottom of the rope. She didn't know what to do. And I'm sure there's somebody sitting here this morning, you come to the point in your life, I don't know what to do anymore. Turn to God. God can help you. Amen? If I'm going to open up this book, and I'm going to let God help me, I got to know a little bit about God. I got to know who God is. You see, if Braden over here, if I don't know him, I don't know he can help me. Oh, I hear people tell me that God can help me. I can pick up the phone this morning or anytime, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can call my brother, who's the president of the bank in Marlington, West Virginia, and tell him I need a loan, and I'll guarantee you he'll say yes. I know my brother. I know his position. I know what he can do. And all of a sudden now I have a problem. I need some money. Who do I go to? The person that I know can give me the money. Say amen right there. And I've got another problem. I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the bottom of my rope. I don't know what to do. Why not turn to the guy that can tell you what to do? And that's God. Amen. And that's what this lady did. These men on the ship. I don't know whether you've ever been on a roaring, roaring ocean. And I mean, one where you think the ship's going down. That was what was happening to these guys. These were professional men. They knew how to handle. But all of a sudden, it's out of control. Now, you know what happened? They weren't giving God credit in their life according to the Word of God. They weren't praising God. They wasn't worshiping God. They was worshiping themselves. And now they've got to a point where they don't know what to do. Do you know that God can get you in a point to where you don't know what to do until you call upon him? Amen. And here was this lady now. There was death in her family. Her husband had died. There was a debt in the family. There was a devotion in her family. In spite of all the problems, she still held on firm to the grip of faith. A faith. Her life had been a life of devotion to the Lord. And in her troubles, she will thrust her life and turn over the problems to a holy God. She still looked to God for help and for need. You and I have the Word of God right here. Amen. If I'm in need, if I'm in help, I need to come to the Bible. You know why we don't read the Bible and study it? Because we don't like what it says sometimes. Amen? You see, I can read this, and I can come to the part where it's I'm supposed to love my neighbor. And I looked at that, and I said, God, there's just no way I can love my neighbor. He wouldn't have put it in there if there wasn't a way. Amen? And the Bible, it says, as a Christian, I'm supposed to bring all my tithes and offerings into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. But God, I don't have enough left over at the end after I pay my bills. And so everything's all right. No, it's not all right. You don't pay God at the bottom of your money. You pay God at the top. And the reason we don't do that is simply because we don't know who God is. Amen? We don't know. We don't fully understand the Bible, what it says. We don't understand Malachi 3:10 where it says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon us. Now, we don't want a blessing. We want money. But he said a blessing. And then he said, I'll give you so much blessing, I'll give it to you where the basket's running over. And he said, to top all that off, I'll keep the devil off your back. Amen? Now, that's enough right there now to make you want to tithe. Say amen right there. You see, we come to the wit's end. We come to the end of our rope, and we just don't know what to do. There's some lessons in these verses we do not want to miss today. At some point, every person in this room is going to arrive at a low point in your life. You know, I used to, thanks to Braden, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But I used to get calls. It started somewhere around 5:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, about the buses. I like to get some sleep, you know. But I just happened to be the bus director at that time. And it was my responsibility to see things was going right. And I'd have to call my buddy Chuck Shackelford, and I might say something like this. Now keep in mind, I'm at the end of my rope now. I don't know what to do. We got kids coming. We got teachers prepared their class. And I call Chuck, and I say, Chuck, you know anybody can drive a bus? And we got buses. We got people driving buses for us that drove for Preston County schools. I mean, we did everything we could. But, you know, we got those buses out, didn't we, Chuck? And then other things would occur. But the moment that was taken care of, Alka-Seltzer says what a relief it is. You see, the first thing I did was pray. I didn't know where to get a bus driver. But God knew all kinds of them. Say amen right there. I didn't know how to get a hold of those bus drivers, but Chuck knew Chuck Shackelford did. Amen? And we did. What I'm trying to get across here this morning, no matter what is in your life, God will take care of it if you allow him. Now hold it just a minute. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, I did this, and they tell me their situation, and I'd say, well, now, wait a minute. I don't recall seeing you for the last month in church. Right. Well, now you know how it is. No, I don't know how it is. Huh? And the next thing, I'd say, do you tithe? Well, preacher, you know how it is. And they give me all these excuses. And then I said, and you want God to help you. You're not willing to help God. But we want to take and take and take and take and take, and we don't want to give. This woman didn't have anything, she said, but just a little bit of oil. Just a little bit. Well, I just said, hey, go to the neighborhood, get your kids, get all the pots that you can get, and bring them into the house and shut your door. In other words, it's kind of like, I want to feed these 5,000 people. And the disciples said, well, we don't have enough food to feed it. Said, find something. Said, the only thing a little kid up here, he's got some fish and a loaf of bread too. And they fed 5,000 people plus ladies and kids. It just kept coming. It's kept coming. You see, you got to know a little bit about God. Amen. You got to understand, there's a peace that passes all understanding. That's from the Bible. God put that in the Bible so you and I could have that. There's a peace that passes all understanding. This lady knew that. There was a debt. There was devotion in her family. When you reach that point, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all going to tell you that God doesn't see, that he doesn't care. He doesn't see you, and he doesn't care. But I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, not a single thing in your life, not one single thing in your life is hidden from God. Amen? He cares, Hebrews 4:15. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to go on through troubles and trials. He cares for you. He wants you in a good condition. Secondly, God releases our potential. It would have been easy for Elisha to have said, okay, sister, you have to suffer enough. You got to suffer enough, and then he'll meet your need. Just go home and wait for him to work. Well, God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants to relieve you just like that. Amen? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that you and I just don't want to do. Now, we would rather do this. I'm going to call Braden. Braden, what's going on? Let me tell you what's going on in my life. And he said, what's going on in your life? I'm going to tell you. And I tell him and tell him and tell him. He can't do nothing about it. He's this fleshly guy like me. But boy, I sure love talking about it, don't I? You ever see anybody love talking about their sickness? Ever see that? I mean, they want to tell you how sick they are. They want to tell you everything's wrong with them. They want to tell you every doctor visit. And when you see them again, they want to tell you the same story over again. I get sick of hearing that stuff. Amen? And that's what I'm telling Braden, all this. And he'll say, well, I can pray for you. Well, what about me? I'm the one's got the problem. I'm the one that's my wit's end. I'm at the bottom of the rope. Now, it's great that he'll pray for me, but what about me? I haven't even contacted God myself. God's waiting on me to make the first move. And the only thing I want to do is talk. And I hang up the phone. And guess what? For just a little while, I'll feel better. Because he's listened to me. Amen? Oh, and by the way, if you ever go to a psychologist, that's all he does. He listens and listens. And after a while, he'll tell you things that you told him and that you don't remember telling him. And you think he's the greatest man in the world. Say amen right there. Listen. You're going to come a point in your life. And Satan is going to come and he's going to tell you that the people, that the church don't care. That's a lie. Amen? I got a very interesting call last night from New York. Don't get many calls from New York. And this lady, she was talking to me. And she said, I picked up your church online. And she said, my family and I are moving to Cherry Run. We're looking at a house at Cherry Run. She said, I think it's 8 miles from your church. And I said, not far, but I don't know how far. And she began to tell me all the problems in New York. And I listened. And she said, I noticed, and what she noticed about our church from what's online. And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And she said, King James Bible. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, the one thing that I need to ask you. She said, it's not a contemporary church, is it? Huh. I said, no, ma'am, I'll promise you that. She said, you guys don't have a set of drums up on the platform, do you? I said, no, ma'am, we don't use drums. And I said, I want to ask you a question before you ask me any more. And she said, all right. I said, are you Independent Baptist? She said, I was born and raised an Independent Baptist, and I went to a Christian school. I said, praise God. That lady, before they ever bought a home, was wanting to know where they could go to church and worship God the way they've been taught all their life. And I went on to explain to her what songs we sang. And she loved that. And I said, you ask me any questions you want to ask me. And she said, well, we just didn't want to come and not have a church, because if we was out of church very long, the next thing you know, you stay out of church. This lady knew what she's talking about. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, I have been called an old-fashioned preacher. She said, that's what I'm looking for. And I said, amen. I said, you come. They're coming today, not to church, the 2:30. They got to look at the home, but before they come, they're going to come to church. When they come back in, sign papers, they're coming to the church if they buy that house. But I was amazed at the advertisement we had on the internet grabbed her attention. You know, there are people out there that believe the way we believe. There are people out there that doesn't want to bring the devil into the church. You see, I don't have to have a rock and roll band. I don't have to have a bunch of drums beating to draw a crowd. I just need some folks to get right with God and go get people and bring them into where they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved. Amen. That's the way God said to build the church. Amen. And there's hundreds upon thousands of Independent Baptist churches out there that have taught and preached the Word of God. And they try their very best to help people when they come to their wits' end. Ladies and gentlemen, this church is not a worldly church and never will be a worldly church as long as I'm here. We're here to help people. And you help people by the Word of God. Amen? How God expands our faith. After God erased her faith in herself and her abilities in herself, he began to process her faith in the power of the Lord to meet her need again. I was talking to Scooby. You guys don't know Scooby. You know Scooby. He just had his spleen taken out. And Scooby has leukemia. He has to take chemotherapy pills 3 times a week. But he's a Christian. And he was over at my son's office the other day, and he was sitting there, and Scooby's one of these people now. He doesn't care who you are or what you are. He's gonna tell you about the Lord. Am I right? And he was sitting there, and there's a group of people there. And all of a sudden, he said, hey, guys, he said, I can tell you, you're all talking about this and talking about this. He said, let me tell you how the Lord blessed me while I was in the hospital having surgery. And I'm sitting there and say, come on, Scooby, come on, tell us. And he got to telling us and how he prayed to God for the surgeon and the nurses. He prayed to God for them to do the job correctly. And then he began to tell those 7 men sitting in that office, he said, I had a piece of God that passed. And I'm sitting there saying, yes, I know what you're talking about. I've been there before. I knew the God that he was talking about. I knew the peace that he was talking about. I knew the joy that he had. I knew when he said he wasn't afraid. Hey, this guy knowed God. What about you? You know a lot about God. Oh, we've been educated in this day and time about God, but do you, I'm not saying you're not saved now, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do you know God? Do you know what God's capable of doing in your life? Do you have any idea what God wants to do in your life? He's the God that wants to help. Amen? The answer, her answer to Elisha is to tell him, all she has is a little pot of oil. The word pot there refers to flask. That's all she had. She didn't have anything else. She said, that's all I got. Well, what you and I fail to realize is that God has already given us everything we need to get the need met. Amen? We got it all. The widow said that the only thing of value she had was a pot of oil. But she had more than a pot of oil. But she didn't realize it at the time. Think about it. If you're saved, you're a child of God, and He has promised to hear your prayer. Amen? He has promised to answer your prayer. He has promised to meet all your needs. Now, what is our problem then? Perhaps somebody I seen this week, and I said, why didn't you come and ask me? and she said, well, I knew what you was going to say already. Well, why didn't you do it then? This lady had a serious problem. I said, why didn't you do that? You see, folks, we maybe sometimes realize what God's going to do, but we don't want to ask Him. I went for several years before I ever prayed a prayer like this. God, use me in any way you feel a need to. You know why I didn't do that? I didn't want to go to the mission field. I was scared to death. He called me to go to Africa. And I'm not going. Amen? I mean, after all, at that time I had a business and I got a family. I'm not going. Now, God, I'm just not going. But do you know what? I got to my end of the rope. There wasn't no more rope. Couldn't tie another knot in it. I knew what I needed to do. I needed to do it for a long time. But I was scared to. And I was trying to make a way myself. Doesn't work. And finally, I remember the day. I remember it as plain and clear as I'm standing here. And I looked out that window and I said, okay, God, you win. Do anything you want with me. Send me anywhere you want. And He sent me to Independence, West Virginia. Oh, that's a whole lot better than going to Africa, I think. I don't know. Here's a missionary. He'll tell you. But see, listen. Until I surrendered, I got no relief. You're sitting here this morning, and God wants to use you in a special way, but you won't surrender. You just will not surrender. You're at the last knot. There's no more rope. That's a long way to the bottom. Or you're out there on the ocean, and it's going up and down, and the water's got, you're at the wit's end. There's nowhere else you can go. And you sit here this morning in this auditorium, and you know as well as I know that there's something God wants to do with you in this church, but you just won't let it go. And so you got to hang on. Now watch this. And while I'm hanging on, I'm worrying myself to death. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. I'm worried about me. I'm hanging on. I mean, I don't even want to go to work. I don't even go to church anymore. I'm just hanging on. But all at the same time, I know what to do. And until I do that, I'm going to chew my fingernails to the bone. Amen. Folks, this woman didn't know what to do. The only thing she knew to do was to ask for help. She asked for help, and God gave her help. Amen. He expands our faith. Listen, now listen, also publicly. She's told to go to all the neighbors and buy all the empty vessels. Can you imagine what those people thought? What in the world is wrong with you? What in the world? Yeah, take all you want, but have you lost your mind? That's what they told me when we started building this auditorium out here a mile off the main road. Have you lost your mind? Amen? That's what they told me when we started the bus ministry. Preacher, are you sure you're right? Isn't it amazing how God can take nothing and use something out of it, make something out of it? Amen? So she went, her sons and they got all the vessels they could get. And all at the same time, I just wonder, it may have been that God used her to talk to her neighbors some about the Lord. Amen? And I'm sure after God gave her the blessing that the neighbors wanted to hear a little bit more about the Lord. Amen? Has anything ever happened in your life? I know, and I get tired of talking about it myself. People get tired of hearing me talk about when I had 2 hours to live. But boy, I love telling that to people. And they'll look at you and, are you telling me the truth? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. And I always tell them this. See, they may not believe me, but they'll believe my wife. I said, ask my wife. See, my wife's a little nicer person than I am. Whole lot nicer person. I knew you'd smile about that. I said, yeah, ask her. She's standing right beside me. And I've had people to go ask her. And she'll look at him and she'll say, he's telling you the truth. I don't know how he did it. She said, I wasn't that way. And people, they want to know, well, how'd that happen? I said, well, first of all, you got to know the Lord. I said, you don't know the Lord? No. I said, well, can I show you how? Yeah. And I've had people saved. Amen? You see, don't ever keep it quiet when there's a miracle that's taken place in your life. Amen? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus if you're saved. Now, if you didn't ever change from the point that you was when you got saved, you didn't get saved. Hello? Because the Bible said that the gospel will change you. You know what the word conversion means? It's a change. There's a change. And you can tell people. I know people that have gotten saved after drunkards and rapists and all those kind of people gotten saved. And then their life, people would look at them and they'd see a change. And they want to know what changed them. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God wants to change us, and God wants to help us in our endeavors that we're going through. Well, number three, God gives our provision. The woman and her sons filled one vessel after another until every vessel they had borrowed was full. Guess what? She paid off the debt. It was paid for, and she had oil left over. Ladies and gentlemen, God keeps his promise. He keeps his promise. The oil flowed until the vessels all ran out. And when the day was done, every vessel had been full. Every one. God's provision knew no limits whatsoever. God is able to meet every need, move every mountain. Now let me ask you a question. You know, as you sit in this auditorium, what does God want to do in your life? And you're holding him back because you're not willing to do it. Oh, you love to talk about it. And it's causing you physical problems. It can even cause you mental problems. Now listen to me. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody. And we go on, and we go on. You see, you're like the illustration I've given over and over and over. I buried the cat, but I left the tail sticking up to where I can go over and pick it up again, and I can start telling you about it. I picked it up. Amen. And until I put this cat buried completely under, I've got a problem. And God wants to use me. You see, I was going to use this in a couple of weeks in my teachers' leaders' meeting, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's about you. And have you ever heard anything bad about Chuck Saffel's Sunday school class? Ever hear anything bad? You want to know why he's a good teacher? Well, every morning driving to work, he talks to God. Now, if anything I say wrong, you speak up. Not only does he talk to God, he may have a cassette or a CD in there. He's listening to. And then, when he comes in here on Sunday morning, now listen to me, he is prepared. And when you're prepared, now watch this. He's prepared to teach his class. You all agree? Okay. Now, let's say that Chuck is allowing his job, and he has a hard job. You got 90-some people under you. You got a hard job. And he's allowing that to build up in him. And build up. And build up. And all of a sudden, he's letting up on his studying. And he's letting up on his praying. And now all of a sudden, he's in a mess. Amen. You see, he didn't take everything to God. And God wants to use him like he's using him. You can't come up here and teach a Sunday school class like he does if you don't prepare. Amen. And I can't prepare for Sunday school or preaching or anything in the house of God if I don't take time to be alone with God. It's impossible. Now, you can get up. You can be a good speaker. Amen. I mean, they teach you. They can take anybody and teach them how to be a good speaker. You got the right education. But what about wisdom? They can't teach you wisdom. They can teach you education. They can teach you how to speak. I mean, I can have every one of you almost crying here if I really wanted to. They teach you that stuff. But what about God? Wouldn't it be better to allow the Holy Spirit to move you than it would for me to try to move you? Amen? Don't you think that the Holy Spirit, and you know the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder all the time and tells you what to do and you won't do it. Amen. Hey, listen. From the looks of some of your posts on Facebook, I'm embarrassed. When a person that comes to this church, y'all ready for this? And I look on there and the middle finger sticking up and the word F is out from it, the world, and they come to this church, I have a problem with that. You say, you sure? I seen with my own eyes. I'm not stupid. And I'm thinking, where have we failed? Huh? And then other posts I see. God help us. The answer is not out there in the world. The answer is me applying myself to the Word of God. That's the answer. That's where it's at. Amen? I told my wife, I know what, for the last 5, 6, 7 years, she suffered with this acid reflux, all this we thought was acid reflux. And I mean, I just ached and groaned. And we would pray and pray together, and we pray, and I said, God's going to come through. And she never doubted. She just smiled a little bit, and she'd say, I sure hope he comes through soon. That just kills me. I mean, man, she's hurting, and I'm hurting. Amen? And I said, Mom, somewhere, I said, we're going to hit one of these. God's going to take care of this. And about 6 months, four months ago, when she went, maybe 6 months ago, and she couldn't sleep at night. She's getting all clogged. And I said, well, let's pray. And we prayed before she went in. I went in with her. And that doctor looked at her and he says, I can help you if you do what I tell you. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. I've heard this 100 times. Guess what? He knew what he's talking about. She almost eats anything she wants now. God. Now, I don't like it that she had to go through all that suffering. But you know what she told me the other day? Your Bible lays beside her bed every night and she reads the one. She said, I said, you don't use that Bible much anymore, do you? And she said, this is the one Braden and Alexis got me. And she uses it. She don't use the one I got her. She uses what they got her. And she said, Dad, I'm sure glad God come through. I said, I knew he would. I knew he would, and he'll come through in your life if you'll let him. You say, I don't have anything. You don't have to have anything except faith. You see, I'm at my wit's end. These guys were too. You see, I'm at the end of the rope. They were too. This lady had nothing left. I believe I could go to any home sitting in here and go walk in your pantry and there's all kinds of food. This woman didn't have nothing. That was it. Can you imagine being that little woman that put in two mites equal to half a penny? And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about that woman. And when everybody gets to heaven, they're going to run and want to see that woman. Ain't amazing? Ain't that amazing? Oh, Rahab the harlot. Man, oh man. Trusted God, had a bad, bad, bad life. She had faith to believe in God. And everything was destroyed. And God saved her and her house. She protected God's people. What's bothering you today? What are you going to think about tonight when you lay down on your pillow? Huh? You don't feel like eating sometimes. You don't feel like going anywhere. Everything's a mess. Why don't you let God take care of you? Amen. I'll promise you there is a verse in the Bible that says he is the God that of peace that passes all understanding. I know that for sure. It's in the Bible. Not only is it in the Bible, it's happened to me more than one time. And there's a Holy Spirit that's got your soul sealed that wrote every word in this told the men how to write this Bible from God and wants to help you and wants you to be free so you can work in the church and work for him and to have some peace and some joy and some understanding. Why don't you free yourself up this morning? You're in chains and you know it. You're bound and you know it. And you just won't turn loose. Why don't you turn loose? This woman ran and grabbed every vessel she could get. She trusted God. I'm going to ask you to trust God this morning. He'll do it if you let him. He really will, because he wants to use you. But he can't use you in the condition you're in right now. You say, "Preacher, I've never personally trusted him as my Savior." Well, he's not going to help you until you get saved. And he'll help you get saved if you'll ask him to. Because the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're born sinners. And until we accept the price that Jesus paid at Calvary for our sins, we're still sinners until we accept that. In other words, I've heard a lot about Jesus, and I've heard a lot about God, but I've never personally trusted in him to get me to heaven. Now, he'll take care of you if you'll permit him to. And I could stand up here all day, and you folks that's been with me 20 years, you know, I could tell story after story after story all afternoon about how God's blessed me in my life. And he's still blessing me. I mean, still blessing me. But see, I'm still working for him. I keep asking him when am I finished? And he keeps telling me he'll let me know. So I'm going to keep on and keep on. I sometimes ask him, "Where am I supposed to get this strength?" He said, "I'll give it to you," and he does. And he does. And so, just trust him. Just trust him. Because when you're at the last knot of that rope and you look way down, there's nothing there. There's nothing. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head bowed.